Thank you, Father. The joy of the Lord is your strength. My children, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Take my hand right now. Receive my joy. Let it sink deep into your spirit. This joy will see you through the next 2 weeks. Much chaos and tribulation will be all over the land. But as you hold on to this joy that I'm giving you right now, it will not take you asunder. But you will be witnesses unto me throughout this land. The peoples will come to you and ask you, how can you be so joyful? But I say unto you, I am a God of plenty. I am a God of more than enough. And I meet every one of your needs. You will not stumble your toe in the next 2 weeks, because I am grounding you into my rock this night. You shall be rooted and grounded in me, and the waves of adversity that are coming will not move you. I am still in control. I am still doing my will, my way. Do not be caught up in the turbulence, but stay calm, stay in perfect peace, and stay in my joy. Trials and tribulations all over, but you will be the peacemakers that I'm going to use to bring peace to a troubled land. You cannot escape what is going on around about you, but you can be a witness for me while the trouble is going on. You don't have to be a partaker of the worldly ways. Stay in my peace. Keep my joy and march on. Father, I truly do thank you, and I give you all honor and all glory. You truly are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Holy Spirit, we give you full rule and reign here in this sanctuary this night. You do what God's telling you to do. We will not interfere. And Father God, I thank you for the blood and the water of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God, that he died for each one of us. And I thank you, Father, that he's ever interceding for us. And my children, I tell you, you are true warriors of the cross. In no way can the enemy take you down. You will stand and face Goliath, and you will have the victory. This is your hour to shine. This is your day of resurrection power. Hold tight. Hold tight to my joy. Watch and see what I'm about to accomplish throughout this land. I am the great I am. And I am with you all the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, about this morning I was full of joy, and about 4 o'clock this afternoon, the atmosphere shifted. And God said the turbulence is getting stronger. And so we just have to stay the course, guys. We can't waver. We just have to stay the course. Tonight, God wants to talk about willing and obedient. This is God speaking. Children, you are in the realm of living where there can be no more nonsense in your lives or the lives of those around about you. You're living in the reality world, and the reality world is taking the place of the heavenly kingdom. I have spoken to my prophets, and they have warned the peoples, but the peoples are shunning my prophets and listening to the voices of the world. This is causing a lot of unnecessary grief and despair. The world as you know it will be no more. Much tribulation on the home front. Children, I warned that you were in war, and I warned that the enemy was coming in like a flood. I spoke of the corruption all across the land, and I also spoke and said it was in control. I'm sorry, and I also said I was in control. I stuck my finger in my eye, and I had hand lotion on it, so I can't hardly see out of it. It's really burning. So let's start that again. The world as you knew it will be no more. Much tribulation on the home front. Children, I warned that you were in war, and I warned that the enemy was coming in like a flood. I spoke of the corruption all across the land, and I also spoke and said I was in control. But still my people who are called by my name keep going their own ways and leave the Holy Spirit totally out of the equation. The Holy Spirit so desires to lead you in all the ways you should go. How many are willing to let go of your flesh right now and ask the Holy Spirit to come and have full control over your tongue and your thought life? God said, I know one thing for sure. If you do not heed the voices of my prophets and also my still small voice, much destruction will soon be in your camps. Did you hear that? I am calling my people to live a life full of abundance. I am calling you to be the head and not the tail. I am calling you to step aside and do not get involved with the beggarly elements of this world. And I know that the majority of the church is getting involved in the beggarly elements of this world. And I know that most of the church is not living, walking in the Spirit because they are believing the lies of the world. And they're starting to change sides. That's going to get you in a lot of trouble. I am calling my people to live a life full of abundance. I am calling you to be the head and not the tail. I am calling you to step aside and do not get involved with the beggarly elements of this world. Children of the Most High God, I have so much more for you than you have. You already have. You settle for the dregs of the land when I want you to have the very best of the land. So right now, what you need to do is just repent and tell God you're sorry that you've been settling for the dregs when he wants you to have the very best. You know, we are the king's kids, right? Kings live in palaces, do they not? And their kids are spoiled rotten, are they not? This is what God has been wanting to do to his children, you and I. He's been wanting to spoil us, and we are refusing to receive the free gifts that he has for us. We think we can make it on our own. We think that we don't need God, or we just think, well, God doesn't really mean what he's saying, and therefore I'm going to just do my own thing my own way. And we have to stop that. Not we have to stop that. We should have stopped that. And if we would have stopped that years ago when God first told us about it, we wouldn't be doing in the spot that we're in right now. You know, if you look at your life, you're the fault that you're in your shoes that you're in. It's not God's, because God always made a way of escape for us, always. That's all God had to say. So the rest is me, all right, teaching you something. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, see that? If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. You can't be rebellious against God. One day he's all right, and next day you're fighting with him. He's all right every day, 24 hours of the day. It is you that's out of sorts, right? It's us. I'll put me in that too. It's us that's out of sorts, not God. And some of you said, and you blame God. It's not God's fault for anything that's going on in your life. It really, truly is not. You either didn't listen to what God had to say, or you took a wrong turn somewhere along the line and you did your own thing. And now you're in a mess. And so you blame God. Not so. I want you to start being honest with yourself right now. And if you really sit down and look over your life, you can see many, many times where God wanted you to go one way and you went another. Or he wanted you to say or do something and you said, I don't feel like it. And that got you in trouble. All right? God is the author and source of all the blessings in our lives. Remember that. In order for us to live in his blessings and become a partaker of them, we must be submitted, spirit, soul, and body to him. You know, years ago, God spoke to me one day. He said, you're going from living under the blessings to living under the curse. You know, I never aged or nothing in all those years. And I told Brother Chris what God said, and he said, that was not God. But I know it was, and from that day on, I went under a curse. I aged 10 years overnight. And every bad thing could happen started happening to me. Why did that happen? I honestly do not know. I just know that everything I ever experienced is because I can be a witness to somebody else. Because I was always obedient to God. But I'm going to tell you, when you get under the curse, it's a mess. And nothing goes right. Are you listening to me? And then God told me not too long ago, maybe a year ago, he said, all right, daughter, you're back under the blessing. I couldn't even say thank you, God. I was so stunned. I was finally out from under that curse. So maybe some of you in here tonight, you're walking under a curse, and you know it. Nothing's going right in your life. Everything's going wrong. And you don't know what to do about it. Maybe you need to go back and check your walk. Are you really doing what God has called you forth to do? Look at Job in the Bible. He was a righteous man, did nothing wrong. But God allowed Satan to have him, and he went under the curse, did he not? He lost everything he had, including his children. But he never blamed God. And then finally, when his little experience was over, he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. So what I'm saying there is, maybe you're walking under a curse and it's not your fault. Just maybe Satan went before the throne of God, and I've taught this before, and asked for you, knowing that you were going to cave in when he threw everything that he had in hell at you. And God let him have you to prove a point. What point did he prove with your life? Did you cave in? Or did you remain strong? Did your Job experience, young God, because God told me I was going through a Job experience, and he said the whole church was going through a Job experience. So what did your Job experience do for you? Did it teach you to trust God? Did it show you where you're not at in God? You went through that experience for some reason. And when you're in a Job experience, you're under the curse. But God is calling us now to live more abundantly and to get out from underneath that Job experience and start walking in the fullness of everything that heaven has for you. So I said, God is the author and source of all the blessings in our lives. In order for us to live in his blessings and become a partaker of them, we must be submitted spirit, soul, and body to him. Remember what I said? God told me, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you, or I don't want any of you. So if you're not willing to give God 100% of yourself, then you might as well just forget it. Because he's not going to work with 99.9. You have to trust him totally and completely. We are able to make the choice to serve God or not. It is our option. God does not force us. However, if we choose to resist the Spirit of God and if we rebel against Him, our lives will be destroyed. It is important that we are obedient to the Lord, but we must also be willing to serve and obey Him in everything. And some things are going to be really messy that He asks you to do. But if you submitted all of yourself to Him, then you'll go ahead and go through it. Rebellion is an attitude. We can carry out acts of obedience and yet still have an attitude of rebellion on the inside. We can be outwardly obedient and inwardly rebellious. And what we really are is rebellious. That is why God says willing and obedient. So how many of you in here tonight are willing and obedient? Well, God told me how to do this, so I have to do it. That's not willing and obedient. That's rebellion. Obedience and submission are two different things. Obedience is an action, and submission is an attitude. God looks at our heart. He knows whether we are willing to obey Him or not. Now, let's just stop there. Remember this morning, God had asked me if I was ready to bless someone, and I really didn't have the money, but I said, yes, I will do that. And I did, and God returned the money to me. And that was such a testimony. I shared it with everybody at home today. If you are willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. And God is either your supplier or He is not. And if you want to hold on to your worldly things, then God can't bless you. Are you listening here? In other words, what I'm saying here is, if somebody is in need and you don't supply their need, then you're not in obedience to what God's word says. Well, you know, if I bless them, then I'm going to be in a mess. No, if you don't bless them, you're going to be in a mess. It takes humility to submit to God's authority in our life and to do what He says. There's that little word, humility. That'll get us in trouble if we don't have that. Therefore, we must be submitted to God with all our heart, and we must obey Him by doing everything He tells us to do. Are you listening? God just laid something on my heart, so I'm going to say it. You know, if you're going to start a ministry, you can't be me. You won't minister like I do. I'm unique. I'm one of a kind. No. He uses your personality. So you don't say, well, I'm going to do it. Because I did this when I first started. I tried to be Kenneth Hagin. I tried to be Kenneth Copeland. I tried to be Marilyn Hickey. None of it worked. And I said, God, who am I? He said, I don't know. He said, you're trying to be everybody else but yourself. He said, I didn't call their personalities. I called your personality. So if you're going to start a church, you have a church, just be yourself. And really, if you're submitted to God, you're not going to be yourself. Because the Holy Spirit's going to take over. And it's the Holy Spirit that's working through you and not you. Are you listening here? Be yourself. And then God can move. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. Hear that? If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Well, I want to add something else to what I just told you. You know, if you're a leader, you have to be very careful that you don't try to make people like you. I don't mean like. I mean make them a copy of you. Because when I'm ministering, when I'm trying to mentor somebody, I'm not trying, when I'm mentoring somebody, I have to be very careful that I don't say, well, what they're doing is not right, because that's not the way I do it. And I've caught myself, you know, where I've done that a couple of times. I haven't spoken to the person, but in my thought life, I was thinking, why are they doing it that way? They're doing it that way because that's their personality. And I really watch myself very, very carefully that I don't try to put myself in the loop and try to make them like me. We're not making clones. We're making servants for the Most High God. All right? All right, if we want God's blessing, we must serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. If we want God's blessing, we must serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. Mark 12:28-34 says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus said, the most important one is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your minds, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbors as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him, to love Him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Let's stop and go back to when you're training somebody else. If you ever watch Perry Stone, everybody that, you know, is under him, it goes like this. Because that's what Perry Stone does. And that whenever I realized that, and somebody, you know, and I think Perry Stone himself said it, I started watching different ministers and the people that were around him, and sure enough, they acted just like him. Yeah. You know, their teacher. So people might do that. I watch Barbara Alsap, and she, sometimes I see myself in her. And so she's picking up some of my traits. And now I'm working with Catherine Gore, and I'm trying to get her to pick up some traits. Because I watched her do Women's Aglow Saturday, and she just enjoys herself. She's going to teach not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. She just has a good time with herself. She doesn't need an audience because she just entertains herself, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why I like to hear her, because she's so simple. You know what I mean? She doesn't make anything complicated. She makes it very simple down there where you can understand it, and she stands and laughs at herself. And see, it's a good thing if you're a leader that you can laugh at yourself. It really is. Because if you can't, then you have a deep-rooted problem that needs to be taken care of. All right, let's get back to our scriptures now. 1 Samuel 15:22. Then Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You need to listen to what God is telling you to do, and then do it. We are living in the darkest times of church history. And if you're not going to obey God, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. And if you don't hear His voice, you are even in more trouble. Because if you don't hear His voice, the devil's going to do a lot of speaking. You need to learn to know which is God and which is the devil's voice. There are certain things that God just would not say and God would not do. The Word of God tells me that the sheep knows His voice and no other voice will he follow. Well, the devil sure tries to make himself sound like Jesus, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He can't imitate Jesus. And if you're walking really close to God, you will know the difference immediately. All right, just because we can make the choice to disobey God does not mean that we will get away with it. The sin of rebellion against God is equivalent to the sin of witchcraft. Some of you say, well, I don't have to do it. I know you say it. You don't say it out loud, but in your mind, I don't have to do what he says. Nobody's going to know what he told me to do. Oh, yes, they do. It doesn't matter. God knows what he told you to do, right? And he's watching you. Are you going to be willing and obedient and do everything God's calling you to do? God takes it very seriously. This is not a game we play, but a matter of life and death. God is not someone you mess with lightly. If he gives an order, we must realize that it is not a suggestion. You know, do you really mean that, God? Yes, he really means that. How many of you have thought to yourself, God, do you really mean that? Are you sure you know what you just said? He knows what he just said, and yes, he really does mean it. If he gives an order, we must realize that it is not a suggestion. We are obligated to obey if we want to live long and prosperous lives. We cannot toy with God. We cannot offer an acceptable sacrifice from a rebellious heart. Our sacrifice must be offered from a heart of obedience. All right, so I'll fast. What kind of an attitude is that? You know, God calls you to fast. You say, okay, God, I will. Then you tell your mind and your stomach to shut up. Because God gave you an order, right? And your mind and your stomach does not rule over God's word that he speaks to you. 1 John 5:2-3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. See, if what God asked you to do is grievous to you, then you don't love God. You just don't. The word of God says you don't. God's commands are not grievous. They are not burdensome, irksome, or unpleasant. Sometimes. No. Sometimes they are unpleasant. They are. Some of the things God asks, well, I'll just speak for myself. Some of the things that God asks me to do, I say, oh, Lord, really? But I do them. And they are unpleasant assignments. But as I hold on to the hand of God and he leads me through it, everything turns out just fine. All right? I say, God, I'm really willing and I'm being obedient, but I don't understand. But I know that you know what you're doing. And I'll just go through with this with you. How many of you, if you be honest, when God asks you to do something, you really don't understand what he's asking you to do. But you just say, yes, Father, I'll do it. And you just walk with him in faith. And it all turns out great, doesn't it? Because God says he knows the beginning and the end, and he also knows the middle. He knows what he's asked you to do. He knows how it's going to end out, and he knows all the mess in between. And he says, I'm going to take your hand. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And he's always telling me, daughter, I'm in this storm with you. I'm always in this storm with you. And I hold on to that. Don't you hold on to that assurance from God? I don't care what you're going through. You know that your Father's right there with you. And he's not going to let you fall. He's going to stay with you. And he's going to sustain you through the whole thing. How many of you can say, honestly say, you've learned a lesson the hard way? You know, when God's asked you to do something and you say, I'll do it. But then you didn't go through it the right way. You mumbled and groaned and complained and wanted to stop in the middle and everything else. And see, all that mess you should never have done. I learned the hard way to shut up and just go along for the ride. You know, I mean, all the other junk you throw in there is useless. Whatever God tells us to do is going to be a blessing to us in the end. God asks us to lose our lives, to lay down our agenda, excuse me, for him. But this is something that he has already done for us. Are you listening here? He laid his life down and gave it up for us. He gives us his all and he wants our all. We definitely have the best end of the deal. Do you really believe that? One person looks like they knew that that's true. How about the rest of you? Come on. I was telling Brother Chris, you know, the devil said to me coming down to church this morning, he says, if you mention Trump again, the people aren't going to come to church. And I said, I don't care. If the word Trump makes you forget all about God, then you have a problem. I don't. There's no man I've seen that has suffered at the hands of the enemy like he has. I pray for that man and his family continued. Can you imagine how his wife feels? They have belittled her from day one, and she's done nothing but good. Gabriel read something to me that somebody wrote about Trump, President Trump, that says, no man is hated more than the man who tells the truth. And don't people get upset when you tell the truth? You know, if you sit there and lie to them and tell them all these flattery things they want to hear, they just think you're the best thing going. But if you tell the truth about something, they can't stand you. They want to get away from you. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are you ready to tell the truth and stand behind what you've spoken? You know, if God tells you to do something, you said, God has told me to do this. And God said, this, this, and this. You're telling them the truth. And they're going to come against you. They're going to belittle you. They're going to say all kind of manner of evil about you. They're going to distance themselves from you. Are you ready for that type of persecution? You've got to think about this. You want to serve God? Then you have to know that you're going to suffer. You have to know that the devil's coming at you with everything he has. But are you going to be willing and obedient to go through with what God has called you to do? If you start a church, please don't close it. You know, if God's calling you to do it, please don't close it. Leave the doors open. God will take care of you. When COVID started, we didn't have service the first Wednesday because we was trying to regroup and do what they told us to do. And God said, don't ever close those doors again. You leave those doors open. He said, I opened those doors and no man can shut them. So I'm doing what God's telling me to do, not what man is telling me to do. God will take care of us. God will cover us. See, I know the voice of God. I know who's called me. And I know what he's called me to do. And so I don't let man put me down. I said to my daughter, you know, somebody said, well, okay, when I first started, you know, as a prophet, and the first one they had around here, and they had me on the radio and everything. And believe it or not, I can't talk if I'm not anointed. I can't say nothing. They called me up there at that radio station up the road there, whatever it was. I went in there and sat down, and I just sat there. She had asked all the questions she had pulled out of me. And finally she said, well, okay, then I guess we're done. That's not me. I'm not out there to be seen. I wasn't out there to build, you know, I'm not here to build myself up. And this is what she was trying to do, and I, you know, that's not me. If it's not God, then it's just not God. Now, I know some of you in here, you have charisma. You could talk to the wall down, if you know, and it wouldn't bother you at all. I can't do that. Never could. But God called me. He called Moses, who stutters. I don't stutter. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? It's the anointing that's breaking the yokes. Not me. It's the anointing that's causing people's lives to be changed, not me. It's the love of God working through me that causes other people to want what I have. It's not me. I died out to myself the first day that God called me into the ministry. And that first day he called me into ministry is the day that all hell broke loose in my life. And everybody came against me. Before that, everybody thought I was the best thing going. But then once you receive I always went to church, but I didn't become born again until 77. Once you become born again, then you're a threat to the enemy. Some of you haven't become born again yet. You're in the house of God, but you're not born again. You're professing that you're a child of God, and you are, but you're not born again yet, and the enemy's not bothering you. So some of you won't get born again, I can guarantee that right now, because of what I just said. That's okay. If you just want to just barely get into heaven, that's fine. You can sweep the streets of gold. And us who, you know, don't mind the sorrow and stuff we go through, we'll sit on the thrones and tell you what to do. I just don't want to just barely get to heaven. Come on. I want to go to heaven and you know, and in glory, and I want to be up there, and I want to be in, I want to be one of those who tells you what to do. Can you see Barbara Alsup up there? People telling her what to do. No, you can't see that. Come on now, you just lied. Repent. I can't see Aaron up there either. So I'm trying to tell somebody, trying to tell him what to do, especially when it comes to songs. The lead angel in heaven could tell him how he should do it, and he said, "That's not the way it's done," you know. So it's up to you what you do in heaven. I lost my place. It's something to think about, isn't it? You can sit there in that old dumb leather chair if you want. And then when you die, just go to heaven. And somebody says, you go down here to the maid's quarters. Somebody else said, go up here and sit on the king's throne. You know. I hope I'm getting you to think about your walk with God and what you really want out of it. And I've told you this before, you know, in the word it says, here am I, Lord, use me. I got all excited about that. And I said, here am I, Lord, use me. Then all hell broke loose. And I said, God, what is this? He said, I heard you when you said, here am I, use me. And he said, this goes along with it. So are you really ready to go out there and be a leader? I don't think some of you are, because you fall apart if somebody doesn't look at you right. You have to be a strong tower. You have to be a warrior. You have to be a worshiper. I'm hearing God say, that's why I put that in there. Come on. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So who are you offering your body to, Satan or God? If you are not wholeheartedly yielded to the Father, then you are yielded to someone else, which is the devil. You are a slave to the one you obey, whether it is God or the devil. Do not be deceived. You are either a slave of the devil, the author of sin and death, or a slave of God, the author of righteousness. We're slaves. You know, every time I see a man with an earring in your ear, and I don't care if you wear earrings around your nose, on your head, or where, but I think about in the Bible, the reason why men had earrings in their ears was to prove to people they loved their master, you know, whoever owned them, and they wanted to stay there, so they put a ring in their ear because they wanted to stay with that master. So if you're a man and you have an earring in your ear, why did you put it there? It's the manly thing to do. No, it's not. And I'm not condemning earrings, because all through the Bible said they were earrings, did it not? And when they was at the mountain, and you know, they went and took all their earrings and their jewelry off and melted it, made the golden calf. I'm just trying to get a point across here. Who are you a slave to? Why do you do the things that you do? All right, I must. So I said, you are either the slave of God or the author of righteousness. So submit yourself to God, be willing and obedient, and you eat the good of the land. First John, aren't you tired of being a slave and having nothing? God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not a little guy that has a little shop down the corner. And we're not that little shop guy's kids. We're the king's kids. And we should have everything. I don't know why I'm saying God. See, God's in control here. 1 John 5:6 says, Jesus Christ is the one who came. He came with water and with blood. He did not come by water only. No, Jesus came by both water and blood. And the Spirit tells us that this is true. The Spirit is the truth. So there are three witnesses that tell us about Jesus, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three witnesses agree. We believe people when they say something is true, but what God says is more important. And this is what God told us. He told us the truth about his own Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has a truth that God told us, but people who do not believe God make God a liar, because they do not believe what God told us about his Son. This is what God told us. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's what God told us. Let's read that again. This is what God told us. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has a Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It tickles me at my family because, of course, they live with me, so they were raised with God, and then they backslid. But they try to, you know, tell me that, you know, God's not real. They go through all that junk. But the minute something happens in their life, guess what they do? God, help me. God, be with me. God, take this pain away. They know there's a God. But that part that went backslid is trying to convince me there is no God. It can't even convince the body that they're in there is no God. Because the first thing to do is call on God. What's the first thing you do when you get in trouble? Do you call on God? Do you pick up your cell phone and call somebody else and tell them your problem? You know, little Isaiah came in today. He took his little hoverboard outside. And I said, do you think you should take that outside? Yeah, I'll be careful. And he comes slowly back into the study. And I said, what's wrong, honey? I knew something was wrong. He said, well, the hoverboard threw me on the ground. I said, did you get hurt? He said, no, it didn't hurt at all. And his little elbow's all skinned up, something else all skinned up. He's bleeding, you know. And he said, it does not hurt. I said, yes, it does. And he stood a little bit. He said, you know, you're right. It really does hurt. But he was trying to manning up. It doesn't hurt. I said, don't you think maybe you ought to go lay on the bed and just play your tablet or something till the hurt goes away? He said, I think I might do that. But see, we should be like that too when the devil throws something our way. No, devil, you know, it doesn't hurt, or I'm not going to go there with you. And he'd have been fine if I went and said, it really does hurt, honey. He was trying not to cry, you know. He was all skinned up. But the devil, what I'm saying is the devil can't keep him down. He gets back up again over and over and over again. Why is it that we grown-ups stay down? Why is it that we can't get back up again? You have to ask yourself that question. Why is it? If you're truly a child of God, you have to be strong. Have to be. All right, this is what God said to us in the beginning. I know one thing for sure. If you do not heed the voices of my prophets and also my still small voice, much destruction will soon be in your camps. I am calling my people to live a life full of abundance. I am calling you to be the head and not the tail. I am calling you to step aside and do not get involved with the beggarly elements of this world. These are all things God's calling us to do tonight. Children of the Most High God, I have so much more for you than you have already. You settle for the dregs of the land when I want you to have the very best of the land. Then I said, who are you yielded to? You need to make a decision tonight. Who are you yielded to? Why is it that you're going through trials and tribulations? Is it a true Job experience, or is it because you are not willing and obedient? You know, if you are not going to submit yourself 100% to God, then don't be a leader. Don't be a leader. Word of God said the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. When I began the church, all the pastors around here would tell their people, don't go over there to her church. She's of the devil, and the blind leads the blind, they both fall in the ditch. And I said, well, I'm not leading anybody but to Christ, so we'll all go to heaven, right? I'm still standing, some of the others aren't. And that's not a brag, that I'm just saying God keeps his own. I was able to withstand the test of time. I was able to withstand all the ridicule that went on from the other pastors in this area. And God has kept me. So if you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to withstand all the ridicule. You're going to have to stand when really all you want to do is run into a corner and cry. Just like that man said. I love that song. It always ministers to me. Sometimes I just listen to it when I want to run and cry. We're not rocks. And we do bend. And sometimes we just have to sit down and just cry out to God. But whom are you sold out to tonight? God is saying, are you going to allow the circumstances of life take you out or take you up? In other words, when circumstances come, are you going to allow the enemy to have control, or are you going to look up and allow Jesus to have control of your life? God says some of you are empty and dry. You've given and you've given and you've given, and now you're emptied and you don't know what to do with yourself. God wants to refill you tonight. He wants to refill you with his strength and his might and his power. And I'm hearing him say, because what you're about ready to run into is going to be like a brick wall, and you're going to need to have his strength and his power to get through the wall. The altar's open for a special anointing to stand.